Welcome to the Killer Frogs. This is episode 120 for December 28th, 2018. This week on the podcast, we have the whole gang. It's Ryan, WC, Shannon, Wes, and I'm Sean. And this week, it's all about the bowl game, the Cheez-Its Bowl in Phoenix, Arizona, that just concluded last night. Actually, Ryan, you're still in Phoenix, aren't you?
I am. I'm actually standing outside on Washington Street, right outside the Fan Hotel, about to watch the Baylor game. And it's been a really good experience.
I don't know why you'd want to torture yourself watching the Baylor game after that brilliant, brilliant exhibition of football last night.
I know, right? You know, and I'm so torn because the Baylor fans are horrible. I don't know if anybody ever goes to sickofbears.com, but they're just awful. But I like Matt Rhule. I love their new coach. I like that guy. And we have a whole new set
Give
of players,
time.
And it's not their fault, right? Give it time, I know, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of want to root for the Big 12, but their fans are just so awful that it's tough for me to root, but I think I will. Maybe.
Well,
I don't know. I'll let you know by the end of the game where I am on that.
We'll definitely pick up on how the Big 12 did in the rest of their bowl games when we come back to our regular schedule at the beginning of next year. But for right now, we want to talk about TCU and Cal. I have a problem kind of defining exactly what this game was last night. So let's start off by asking the panel here. Can you guys give me an adjective to describe what you saw last night? Wes, what do you have?
Can I keep it clean or do I need to?
It's an internet podcast. I can always bleep it later.
You know what? It was a win, but it was total crap.
Crap. Okay. Well, that works. Shannon, how about you?
Mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing. Okay.
Mind-blowing. Nicer than I was.
That's a lot nicer. Ryan?
Mine is weird. It's a weird game.
I can't argue with that. Dubber, what do you have?
Easy. Ugly.
Ugly. You know, that I'm going to say you stole mine. That was going to be my adjective.
No, but that was two words.
I kind of equated what we saw last night, I guess, to like the ugly Christmas sweater. You know, it served a purpose. It did that purpose, but it was ugly.
Yeah, it was.
Y'all, you know what, too? If you have not followed the Cheez-It Bowl on Twitter yet, do yourself a favor and follow them and go back through and read their tweets because they're hilarious. They renamed the Cheez-It Bowl Cheez-INT for Interception Bowl last night, and they were just on a roll. I mean, it'll make you laugh tears, actually.
Well, there was a lot to laugh about and a lot to cry about in this particular bowl, and while we do have the good and the bad, let's start off with a couple of the questionable things that happened. In this bowl, we had a couple of firsts, and I think the first thing we want to talk about is the quarterback situation for both teams. Coming in, I didn't think we realized exactly how bad Cal's quarterback situation was. We knew how bad TCU's quarterback situation was, but to have, how was it, six interceptions in the first half between the two teams?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Quarter.
Mm-hmm. That's the way to describe it. Yep.
Yeah.
It's been nice.
Just a little bit. And then Cal switches to their backup quarterback, I believe, who is also a fifth-year senior. And for the first time ever in bowl history, we had two fifth-year seniors that have never started a bowl game and have never taken a snap, I guess, starting up until their fifth year of college, facing off against each other, which was one of those kind of mind-blowing stats that when they actually say it on the on the broadcast, you're like wondering, who's in charge of finding out these things? Like, who mined the data to figure out that both Forrest and Mulstein had never, you know, these two guys were going against each other, were fifth-year seniors, have never taken a snap. It was the first time ever.
You saw him tripping in midfield out there during the last 20 seconds of the game. That's who mines that kind of thing.
Yeah. We'll come back to that later.
Yeah. I will tell you guys, from a defensive standpoint, what a game you would want to play in from a defensive standpoint, especially in the linebacker. Because this one quickly, as we are communicating, I said, okay, the quarterback play is not going to get any better from neither one of the teams. So it's going to come. This is all about defense. So first defense, you know, get one and take one to the house. And again, thought we had that one taken to the house. And, you know, all that, all the craziness happened on just on that pick. But, you know, our defense was, they were having fun. And that's a game you want to be in, because when you're a quarterback out there throwing the hot potatoes out there, man, and people, seniors, are trying to get their stats up for pros and all kind of stuff, that's the game you want to be in. And so guys on both sides were able to accomplish that.
Well, Shannon, we talked about this in the last couple of games in the season. It looked like, starting with the Baylor game, going into the Oklahoma State game, we had mentioned this, it looked like this defense had started having fun out there, which was a complete 180 from where it was in the first nine games of the season.
Right, right. And again, the show last night, just one of those situations where no panic whatsoever. They were having fun, flying around. You saw it. I mean, those guys, and then when they're gelling like that, when you see that, I mean, listen, I just knew we could pull it out. We just need our quarterback. Lord, just make one play. Just make one play. If you can just make one play, defense got your back.
He did on that third down.
Yeah.
Little slap. We completed that slap.
Yep.
That was one play, baby. That's the one I've given him.
That's it. We just needed one, and he gave it to us.
I tell you what, though. It started out weird. You kind of had it first to be weird because – when we kicked off to them, we got penalized for something we didn't do.
Yeah, the opening kickoff with the kick out of bounds.
Yeah, that's
They threw the flag, and the receiving team grabbed the ball. The football never went out of bounds.
Yeah.
They flagged us on it.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. So Zebra Frog on the forum, who's a referee, and he knows the rules, made mention of this. It's just the way that rule is worded, that if a player is out of bounds and touches the ball, then the ball is also considered to be out of bounds, which to me, it's like if you're out of bounds and you touch the ball's dead at that spot. But according to the free kick rules, that's not the case. So everyone's giving this guy like a ton of credit. And I'll be honest with the Frog fans out there, I did not see the beginning of this game. I was stuck on I-35 driving back from San Antonio in a monsoon. So I didn't get to see how this played out. But everyone's giving credit to this Cal player as though this was the smartest play ever by a special teams player. I think he just got lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if he knew the rule, if he knew that rule, kudos for him for knowing the rule.
Yeah.
I think that's bull crap. I just don't.
Yeah, I
play a lot of football. Been around a lot of football. I've never seen that. Never heard of that.
No,
that was new to me. So I was like, "Wow!" I thought that was a dumbass play, but that's the rule. That's the rule.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, that and we should have had an inkling that something weird was going to happen all night long right after that play.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of like the foreshadowing of how this bowl game was going to play out.
Yeah.
And to go back to what Shannon was talking about with the defense, and we'll talk about some of the good here before we get to some of the weird, to use Shannon's or Ryan's word here. The defense looked fantastic, but more than that, let's talk about Lewis Small having fantastic games, but also, is this the coming out game for Vernon Scott?
Yeah. And it's he played a hell whale of a game, but it's also our goodbye to Juwan Johnson, because when he picked that thing, I thought he was going to take it to the house. And that was a great pickup on Gary's part, getting him into this program. I'm sorry he's a one-and-done player, but my gosh, he proved his mettle last night.
And just think what you've been seeing with the defense here the last half of the year. I think you finally see the young players kind of growing up, understanding our defense, and all of a sudden, they don't look like deer in headlights. They look like they're out there, you know, everybody calls them having fun. They're having fun because they actually know what they're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, they're trying to figure out what they're doing as the plays go. So we got a lot of players that are coming back and this and that, and that little showing. And if you're a Hog Frog and you like defense, I feel really good about what you got, what happened last night, but also what's going to happen next year.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the line's definitely going to be a question, but getting Blacklock back is going to be helpful. Linebacker.
Sorry, go ahead. After that defensive line, too. So We got that JUCO Sony Meese coming in. And,
yes.
You know, he's paid a lot of attention to the interior defensive line as far as well as the defensive ends. So I feel pretty good about that next year. It looks like our defensive ends coming in are going to be pretty solid guys. I don't know if we have Ben Vanagoo or an LJ Collier, but you know, if they can do be half of that, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
But with Blacklock, definitely would have made a difference this year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this defense goes. But the defensive backfield is probably going to be the hardest position to play in a Patterson defense. And I think that one is shored up. I think we're good at safety.
Oh,
I think we're good at cornerback. Linebacker's going to be a little iffy. I don't know, Shannon, what do you think going into next year after what you saw with this unit? We're losing Johnson, obviously losing Summers.
Well, listen, Gary's magnificent at getting people in spring. Recruiting people who can play two positions. That's what he's great at doing. Here, I mean, for president, I mean, to do what he did and even have a chance to win this game with over 40 injuries, I mean, he's shuffling people around left and right. Give him a healthy team. I don't think we need to worry about as far as people playing certain positions or being short positions. Because when we're healthy, he puts people, like you said, like with Gallo. I mean, he pulls him up from safety to linebacker. He had a hell of a year at that position until backing up Summer. So, you know, listen, when we're healthy and we got people coming at her, we got a great class coming in. I haven't really dissected those guys, but a few guys, the 22 that we got coming in. Man, I think we're going to be just one of those loaded years where we're loaded, per se. We'll have some positions that we need to fill, but I think this is one of those years that we're going to be loaded.
Yep.
I agree with that.
Well, let's go from one good, nice little bright spot last night to another. And, Dubber, I want you to talk about the offensive line because it looked like about halfway through this game, that offensive line took control of Cal's defensive line and allowed Shewo to kind of run all over him.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it was already an ugly game. That's what drives it crazy a little bit. Right.
Somebody's having a party.
Yeah.
You know, the first quarter they started out, it was more stalemate. But after that, especially first and third quarter, all the second half, we dominated up front. I mean, we didn't try to run sideline to sideline. And when we did, when we just lined up, handed the ball off and went north and south, man, they looked good. I mean, they were dominating. But we just turned around and stopped ourselves. I mean, all of a sudden, we do some so frustrating to do some. I mean, you're sitting there and I'm like, I'm not going to quit running it. It's going to be boring, but we're going to run it all the way down to the end zone and score.
Right.
They can't stand to do it. It's kind of like, oh, we got to throw a ball. Just do what works. This drove me crazy. I mean, the offense line, you know, they played great in the run. And then, the passing game, it's just hard to tell what was going on.
Yeah, I agree with that, Dubber. I mean, it's, you know, coaches sometimes trying to get a little too cutesy or outsmart themselves.
Well, that double backwards pass play.
That was pretty bad. I mean, you know, Cumbie had some great creativity in the Baylor game against Oklahoma State. I don't know what the heck that thing was, you know, you've got a quarterback who's the reason he hadn't played a lot the past 4 or 5 years. He can't pass, and we've seen that in the past couple of games. He, you know, short routes, that's about it. They tried to take him deep a couple of times, at least once yesterday. And he's just not a traditional passer.
Well, the other bad part of that was, is, man, I know at the first of the game he got hit a couple times, but man, he bailed out quick. I mean, there are several times I'm sitting there, he's got a perfect pocket.
Yeah.
Well, he started scrambling. I'm like, why are you doing that? Just step up in the pocket.
Yeah.
If he steps up in the pocket, he's got a perfect your perfect pocket. Probably about four times I saw that I'm thinking, we step up, we probably have a receiver. And if we don't, just take off running straight down the field.
Yeah.
when he got skittish, he started bailing out. It just was ugly.
Yeah, I was listening to the SiriusXM broadcast at the beginning of the game, and they had Andre Ware up in the booth, and he was talking about, you know, all the freshman mistakes this young quarterback's making. I'm thinking to myself, he's a fifth-year senior.
Yeah.
You know, he's it's freshman mistakes, but he's not a young quarterback. But it was interesting listening to Andre Ware, not necessarily because I think he's a great color guy, but there were several times in that broadcast where he was pointing out that we had receivers that, based on the package that Cal had just run, was left pretty much wide open. And that all he had to do, all Milstein had to do, was just basically step up and throw at the release. And there were like two or three times in that broadcast where he mentioned specifically in the play right before it, he said, you know, Stewart was wide open on this. They have the exact same package. All Milstein needs to do is do a quick fake and then immediately fire the ball to Stewart, and you've got a big gang. And sure enough, he turns around, does a fake, turns around, and then he's like, he's got him. And he goes, he's holding on to the ball for some reason. Now he's running out of the pocket. You don't have to do that. What are you doing? It was like listening to what I would have said at the TV set, like yelling at the TV set. It was just interesting listening to that broadcast. But it was almost like he was gun shy because of all the interceptions he had up to that point.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but for him to take off running as much as he did, it was just the best. And then the one time he should have ran. He had all kinds of yardage. That one interception, he was 2 yards past the line of scrimmage. If he just tucks that ball and run, he probably gained 15, 20 yards, because I said, oh, no, he's about to throw it. And then I went, oh, no, he's about 3 yards across the line of scrimmage. This is going to be an easy call right here.
Yep.
Well, it's hard to pick on him because he stepped up.
Yeah.
He's been our savior the past couple of games, and he did what they asked him to do. He managed the game yesterday, and he did all right the past 3 games. You know, and we had no choice, and he stepped up and did the job. But you know, I'm very grateful for Grayson for being here and sticking with the program.
You're right there. I mean, it was an ugly win. Sometimes you got to win ugly, and he did just enough, you know, to do it. And I tell you what, it was to me. It got. It's kind of like, you know, how people say, you know, English bulldog so ugly that he's cute.
Yep. I don't know, Dubber. That negative QBR is pretty ugly.
But you know what? There's only a column for wins and a column for losses. There's no column for ugly wins and pretty
true.
Losses.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, let's go down as a win.
Well, what did Patterson? They kept saying that over and over again on the TV broadcast last night. The Patterson said, "I don't care if you give it to me in a paper bag; I'll take an ugly win." And you know, that was about as ugly as it can get. And but you know what?
Sean, did it not get enjoyable at the end almost just because you didn't know what was going to happen?
Yeah,
right.
I mean, it almost became it got so ugly that it almost became enjoyable.
It was comically enjoyable. It was quite literally like, what else could happen tonight and still make the game where it's like anybody could still win it? It's like,
be careful what you ask.
The other part.
TCU did not disappoint. They went ahead and did a couple of other things at the very end that really was like, wow. Well, you know.
Yeah, well, no, that's true. I mean, and this was considered, I think Ryan was mentioning this, I think you mentioned this before we started, Ryan, right? This was like the worst quarterback performance in bowl history.
Yeah.
Right?
Somebody wrote an article about that earlier. It was, right. And I forget the, he was negative at one point. I think he finished at a 12. I don't understand all those stats.
Well, from a statistical point of view, let's make this, this wasn't an opinion. This was a statistic, because obviously, if everybody came in here and said, no matter what happens, TCU is going to win this game, but Milstein's going to look terrible. We'd all been like, I don't care. We don't care, right? Because, I mean, this point, Milstein's our backup quarterback. I mean, yeah, sure. Right, whatever.
Well, here's the other part, too. You know, we went into halftime, and I looked back up at the score, and I was like, I had to remind myself, oh, my gosh, it's only 7-0. And I thought, we're totally going to win this because Gary will work his magic. He does what he does. and we're going to come back out in the second half, and we're going to do something to win it. I mean, I was shocked that it was only 7-0. Weren't you at halftime? Because it sure didn't feel like it. It felt like it was like 100-0.
Yeah, I finally got in, I think, right before the beginning of the third quarter or right in the middle of the third quarter, somewhere around there. And I had lost satellite. I had lost everything. So I totally missed the lead up to halftime, all the way through halftime and the start of the third quarter. And when I got in, my house was an absolute nightmare. There was pipe issues and dog issues, and it was absolutely crazy. So by the time I got around chance to see the game live on the TV broadcast, it was at the end of the third quarter on the Shawo replay at the end of the third quarter, where they put 3 seconds back in the third quarter. And it was, when I got home, I was thinking, man, we're going to be down like 21-0. And then when I get in, I look at it, I'm like, wait, we just tied the game at 7? It's like what the hell did I miss? I had to kind of go back and rewatch it. But yeah, it was. It was one of those things. But let's talk a bit comical. Let's talk this, because I know Ryan's got to go, because she wants to talk about this.
Oh, but hang on. Yeah. Well, I do want to point out, though, really quickly, though, that, you know, Bunce missed that field goal, which would have kept it. We may be going into that from going into OT. And then Rodgers, y'all, I mean, I don't know what they were saying on TV, but he played with one leg, basically, one foot.
It was, kinda,
and that one guy hit him and bounced off of him,
yeah,
literally.
Okay, so there are two things about that. The first thing is, it was the most comical remark by an announcer I've ever heard in my life. Where it was like, TCU is putting in a quarterback who does not have control of his feet. That was his point. Like, he has drop foot. He has no control of his feet. Okay, all right, fine with me. And then after that play, and then, of course, immediately, right, he doesn't pick up we don't pick up the blitz on the outside edge. He doesn't see the blitz coming, and the blitzer just basically bounces off of him. And I think somebody on Twitter commented, it was like, it's okay if your quarterback has no control of his feet if he's made out of indestructible material. Like
concrete.
There you go. But yeah, dude, so.
That was funny. I mean, that dude thought he was going in for the drop hit.
Yep.
And he hit him so hard, no, he bounced off. And I went, wow, that's pretty good. Right
what else can happen tonight? You have a guaranteed sack by a guy who's like an all-big, all-Pac-12 or whatever, you know, defensive guy, and he just bounces right off your third string quarterback who has drop foot. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
So then we go from there to, okay, we're about to win the game. All the players are lined up, hands over each other. All the seniors are waving the towels in the air for Bunt, you know, to come out and kick the
end
field
of regulation,
goal.
Right?
Yeah, end of regulation. It would have been great. And I'm sitting down there, and there's the press people taking pictures, and they're like, well, I'm rooting for TCU, so we don't have to go into OT. It was hilarious. Everybody's rooting for us. And then, of course, in typical TCU fashion, because we like to drag it out and add as much drama as possible, which even after this miss, we'll talk about the added drama. But, yeah, so what did that look like on TV when we missed that?
I'll tell you what it looked like. It looked like our old post. Asked our field goal kicker.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
So I thought Patterson was doing a switcheroo.
I don't know what he was doing. That was strange.
It looked like this, Ryan. This is what it looked like. Bunce comes out to kick a field goal. Sorry, go ahead, Dubber.
Patterson thought that he wanted Song to kick the field goal. So he went out there. He made the switch. And when he goes back to the sideline, if you see it, whoever's running that special team or whoever's talking about it gets in his ear hole about it and says, hey, blah, blah, blah. So he kind of went, well, okay.
Right.
And so then they turned right back around and they made the switch after he made the call. Now, if you're the head coach, you should have stuck with it, because at this point in time, in my mind, you can't do that to a kicker. You're the head coach. You just pull him and then you let somebody put him back in. His bat, you could tell when he's standing over there. It was over.
Yeah.
It was over.
Originally was fired. And the reason why I said fired, WC, because that reason there, whoever that guy who ran and jumped in Gary's ear, even though I get it, Gary's the guy who calls the final shot. Gary had made a call, and that guy jumped in Gary's ear, and Gary chased it, and he did the switcheroo for the third time, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then he sends a guy out there and he misses it. But all I can think about is, man, that guy needs to be, you know, obviously fired from that play.
Yeah.
You know, here anymore. That guy does. Like, man, whatever you said to make him switch, it was wrong.
Yeah.
You think it's time for Jerry to hire a special teams coach?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's past time. Yeah, absolutely it is. I mean, it looks so comical too.
That was bad.
I thought it was just some, like, some sort of a weird, you know, like, strategic thing that Patterson wanted to do. Send Bunce out there, have Cal ice him, and then switch him with Song and let Song kick the field goal. And I was like, this is the weirdest thing, but given the fact that the way the game had gone up to that point, I was like, hey, well, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
See, weird. That word keeps popping up. Weird, weird, weird. The whole night was weird.
Well, let me tell you, all the things that happened, you know, you can kind of understand your third string quarterback finally, you know, I don't know if all the interceptions were his fault, because it looked like the first one, he was expecting the wide receiver to do something different. But, you know, of all the weird things, that kicker deal just about threw me over the top.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
And then turn right back around and go get the kicker you just pulled and put him back in a game like that and expect him to do anything. I mean, yeah. I was shocked. I was like, as soon as it happened, I said, there's no way he's making this field goal. I mean, he didn't. I mean, he got iced by our own coach.
Yep, he sure did.
Gary, I would be looking for a new special teams coach, because he's the one, whoever it was, or whoever, like you said, Shannon, whoever's the one that come whispered in my ear and kind of got all on it, like, well, this is our guy. And got him to switch back again.
Yeah.
Well, and the funny thing was, and I know we're skipping over a big thing here to come to the end of overtime when Song kicked the game-winning field goal, but on the TV, the announcers were hilarious. At that point in time, when Song's coming out to kick the game-winning field goal, they were saying, well, and one of the color guys was like, well, why aren't they going with Bunce? Why is it Song now? And then the other guy was like, well, because Patterson doesn't trust anybody with a leg over there on that sideline. Yeah, that's pretty much it. At one point in time, the color guy was like, well, maybe they'll let Rager kick the field goal.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, that may not be a bad decision at this point.
I tell you what's so funny is they watched Song sit over there, warm up. Then he didn't even go out there for the first time. Yep. I mean, everybody was confused on that one, including me and Patterson.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I said, I know Ryan's got to go, but there is one other thing I know she wants to talk about, and that is that is the craziness that happened in the first overtime period. So TCU wins the toss. We didn't even talk about this. We won both coin tosses in this game. Both. I mean, anyway. So, which, by the way, for those people who don't follow these sort of things, we pretty much lost almost every coin toss this season. So, anyway, so TCU wins, which statistically is almost impossible, but we did it anyway. We won both coin tosses in this game. TCU defers, takes defense first. And then right out of the gate, Cal throws yet another interception. It looks like it's going to be run back for a game-winning score, but gets tripped up inside the 10, and then we find that there's a flag on the TCU sideline because on replay, Mark Cohen, the SID, trips over himself into the field of play, and they flag him for interference.
Now, I tell you what, there are a lot of people that got a mark on the flag fan form, but that sideline is tight. You've got a certain area that's the coaches and players box, and then you've got photographers, you've got the TV people who think they own every square inch of real estate on that sideline. You got cheerleaders, you've got band people, you've got it's tight. And Mark's probably not used to going down there too. He goes down with 5 minutes left at the end of every game, but still, and you get caught up in the moment. He probably just got a little too close and tripped and fell over. Thank God it didn't cost us the game or anything. But he's probably as embarrassed about it as anybody.
Well, sure. And I'm gonna give my little monologue, and then I'll probably drop off. I'm outside, and it's actually freezing cold here in Phoenix. But I went down there. Of course, we went to OT, so we were all down there for a lot longer than we ever intended on being down there. So he was literally probably less than 10 yards in front of me. Of course, I couldn't really see him. I didn't see the fall, and I didn't even understand why I got called back for quite a while. I didn't even know it was marked until I saw y'all's text start popping up on my phone, and y'all are like, oh my God, that was Mark Cohen. And I thought, what? And so I could see him, and bless his heart. And then I got back to the room, and I saw all the Twitter. I saw that there had been a thread started on him on Killer Frog. So I sent Mark a text, and I was like, welcome to the club. You know, Mark, you're truly now part of the Horned Frog family when you finally get a bashing thread on Killer Frogs. I've got one for myself, right? I mean, and mine is a lot worse than his. So I thought it was, I'm still giggling about it today, because if you know Mark, he would never, I mean, it was an accident. And people I got all fired up about an hour before this call, because I hardly ever go onto the Facebook page, Horned Frog Nation, but I stumbled upon it in my feed, and it sucked me in, and people were, some guy, I won't even repeat his name, had put on there, who's the, you know, blah, 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 who almost cost the game. And I, of course, tons of people came to Mark's defense, because people know Mark, and he's a stand-up guy. But I went in there, and I responded back, and I said, first of all, it was an accident. He didn't do anything. Like, he tripped, and he was at the other end of the field. Everybody's kind of jogging down the field, trying to watch what's going to happen, leaning out, trying to see, and he tripped and fell into the field. He didn't run into a ref. He didn't do anything. That ref didn't even call it until after the play was over. Guarantee he wouldn't have called it had we made the touchdown. And secondly, for people to rip on Mark personally, I can't even believe they won't take it off Horned Frog Nation, because what Mark has done for TCU, I might get a little choked up, for TCU and all the players and the issues that they've had on and off the field, what he does behind the scenes for that school and those players and helping Gary grow them up, we will never fully understand. And for people to judge him on one moment, really, really, fellow Horned Frogs doing that really bothers me. So
yeah, I agree with you. To have somebody like Dan Jenkins call Mark Cohen the best media relations guy TCU's ever had, that speaks volumes in my book. Yeah. Mark is a great guy. You said it best. He's a stand-up guy, and he's done a lot for TCU, and will continue to do so. He's one of the best hires that I think Eric Hyman or whoever brought him in ever made. And
It was an accident, and you know what? It's funny. Like, we all can laugh about, like, it's funny. We won. We made the field goal. Life goes on. We won. And I had got some good, I was giggling about it still this morning. And because it's just,
well, it was funny.
I mean, Thorny's on national news, you know, tripping onto the field. I mean, it's one of those life moments, you know, and let's just look at it for what it is. And it was an accident, and it's, we can all laugh about it.
Was that Shannon?
Yeah,
I'm done.
Ryan, about his character and about who he is so true. But guys, I'm going to keep it on the funny side. I'm not going to lie to Phil. I ran there and told my wife, I said, that was Mark Cohen. That was Mark. And the reason I responded like that is I felt, and the guys can attest to this, I felt like he was my teacher, trained me how to do my job in the press box all year. And to see my teacher, who's been training me and shushing me and telling me to cheer for my team, he's the main one, goes out there and trips the field. That at the time, it was funny in that sense to me. Not, I'm glad we won the game, because obviously this wouldn't be so funny if that would have cost us the game. But it did not. And it's definitely something he can laugh about after he gets over the embarrassment or whatever. That's fine.
Oh,
that's going to be more funny than anything. And, man, you got to have thick skin, especially being a part of a football team or a locker room like we've been and like he is, because he knows those guys. He's going to get it. Don't worry. If other players, people, they see him, they're gonna give it to him, he's going to laugh about it. But that's what I got. It was funny. And, listen, all the other comments and all that bull crap, just can't look into it, can't dig into it. Those are the people we've been talking about all year. They're to me, they're They're frauds, but they're not, because, you know, this group we're in, no matter what, we criticize with love. You know, that's what we do.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, anytime you have a comment that starts off with who was that guy? If you know Mark Cohen, you immediately recognize that was Mark Cohen. I mean, right.
That was Cohen.
Yeah.
It was without a doubt. I mean, I recognized it immediately when they showed the first replay, and my wife and I were kind of lying down in our room and we're watching it. And my wife goes, wait, what just happened? And then they show the replay and he's stumbling over himself. And immediately went, that's Mark Cohen. And my wife just started laughing. I mean, she literally laughed for a good 3 minutes about the whole thing. And she queued up the Benny Hill music because of it. I mean, it was freaking hilarious. But anytime you have a comment from a quote unquote frog fan, who's just like, well, I have no idea who that was. You're not really paying attention to the whole team, which is fine. That's not a problem. But trust us, nobody.
If you don't know who Mark Cohen is, you don't follow TCU.
Yeah, and nobody is more upset about the fact that Mark Cohen fell flat on his butt on that sideline than Mark Cohen.
You know what, though? The best thing about that is that his fall was awesome. I was like, oh, my God, that's a 10. Because it's like somebody taught him how to fall. It's like how you teach gymnasts how to fall. Like, he tucked his shoulder and rolled. Most people stick their hands out and they break their elbows or their wrists or shoulders. I was like, man, that was actually awesome. But I was wondering, I was like, how did he get all that momentum? You know, man, he had some momentum in that ball.
I thought he was trying to run after the guy. I got excited. I didn't know what the hell, but I was like,
he was a mile away from the play.
He was.
Wes is playing Olympic judge out there, the 10.0.
He was a 10.0. And you know what else is even better? Mike pointed out to me, he goes, you know what? When this all kind of goes away and y'all can sit back and joke about it, even though we're already joking about it because it is funny. He was like, you know, that's pretty a proud moment. I mean, I think Mark's what, in his mid-50s? We'll just say he's 56 or 55, something like that. You know, he got a penalty in a Big 12 bowl game, a 15-yard penalty in a Big 12 bowl game.
Yeah, somebody needs to go and do the data mining on this. Was this the first time an SID has been flagged for interference in a game?
I'm willing to bet that it is.
I think that was the only interference call on a TCU backfield all game.
I'll create a Mark Cohen Award.
Yes.
You know, he tweeted out this morning. I was waiting. I was like, come on, Mark, you know, you can come up with something good. And he had a picture of himself riding a camel. That's what I think the players and all of them went to do that. And he goes, and he goes, at the time, I thought this was going to be the most interesting thing to happen to me all weekend, you know?
Nope.
So good for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
But,
Deborah, I don't think you were at TCU then, but back in the 70s, I think Coach Dry was the head coach, but playing Oregon State, and I think one of their guys intercepted a pass deep in our end of the field, started running down the sidelines, and one of our guys jumped off the bench and tackled him.
Yeah.
You know, that really happened. I witnessed it. I saw that. And everybody, of course, we got flagged. I think they allowed the touchdown because he had a clear field ahead of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, first when I saw that happening, I said, oh my God, here it goes again, you know, but it was just Mark, stumbling over a wire or something. But
yeah.
Anyway, that was,
yeah.
Well, it was the cherry on top of a very weird game the way around. But
Ryan, tell Ryan, that didn't have nothing to do with him knowing how to roll. That had to do with being 50 something years old. And it was so bad that he ended up about 5 yards out on the field.
Hey, I'd hate to see what I'd have looked like had I tripped over my feet and fallen on national TV. But I thought it was a pretty, as falls go, I thought it was pretty graceful.
he may have had one too many cookies during Hanukkah. That might have been the case.
Maybe.
Hey, I'll get a 15-yard penalty. Don't just fall right beside. Go ahead and fall in about 5 yards in, because that's the way to make sure you get on TV and everything.
I mean, at this point, I was thinking, I was like, well, shoot, if that ref's going to throw that crappy penalty on him instead of giving him a warning, man, I'd do a redo. I'd take him out the next time and at least make it count for something, you know? I thought, geez, he got
if you're gonna get a 15-yard penalty, take the ref out with you, right?
Exactly.
Might as well.
Right. Well, when they watch on the wide side, the end zone shot of that video is going to be hilarious. I mean, I wish I could watch the video with them when they you know, recap the game and whenever they do that. But that end zone shot's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Sean, can you think you can take a video clip of that and make it one of our Twitter feeds next year for football season?
Yeah, we could do that as a, yeah, maybe a mistake video for Twitter. Yeah, that might
work. There you go.
Yeah. The bloopers.
I have a feeling that will be a play that will live in infamy for quite some time, as will the rest of this game.
It's like the gift that keeps on giving, for sure.
It really is.
I do, before I drop off, because my hands are about to freeze off, I do want to give a shout-out to Mark. If you're listening, or if anybody who knows Mark is listening, next time you see him, you know.
Give him a bag of Cheez-Its.
Give him a bag of Cheez-Its. And Mark, we love you. We're TCU is so much better off having you with us. So we are all laughing with you, not at you. It gave us some good... Laughter is good for the heart, and we got some good laughter out of that.
We're definitely laughing with you, but last night we were laughing at you.
Nah.
we love you, Mark. We love you, buddy.
No, it's all good. It's all good. No, but this was
the Yogis for lunch.
That was kind of, like you said, it was the cherry on top. It was the epitome of a game that, like you were saying, Dubber, when things started kind of piling up, it was just becoming a comedy of errors, right?
Yeah.
It was like a Shakespearean kind of play, yep, where it was like one thing led to another, which led to another, which led to another. And you're just on the seat of, you know, you're at the edge of your seat wondering what's next. And I
y'all,
mean,
thank
crazy.
God he didn't like break his ankle. And then can you imagine that? He had actually gotten that. I mean, I talk about icing, double icing and cherry on top would have been had the whole press been on him with a camera and a rolled ankle or something. So,
well,
see,
I'm surprised he didn't injure himself,
always
given how many injuries that sideline has faced.
I know. He was right back to work, though, you know, right after that on the field and doing everything he needed to do.
Real quick, speaking of injuries, there is one shout-out we need to give, and that is we lost our deep snapper in the practices leading up to the bowl game. I forgot, I think his name is Chad. I'm spacing on this. I'm sorry. I have to go back and take a look at this. But the deep snapper that played in the bowl game hadn't snapped for us all year long.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he did a phenomenal job.
Yeah,
that,
he did.
That is not an easy position to play. Especially against that defense. Yeah. I mean, shoot. I mean, Rager practically had no offensive yardage whatsoever all night long. We had negative QBR ratings. How many, Shannon, what was it? We were talking about this during the game. We had five different frogs take snaps in this game.
Yeah.
Guy with drop foot. And let's be honest. I mean, we all thought when Rodgers was coming in, this is the start of the Rodgers era. Unfortunately, he didn't get off on the right foot, but a bum.
No pun intended.
No pun intended there. Right. But I mean, with everything that went wrong with all the interceptions, and for this team to come out on top, this really was the perfect metaphor of the 2018 season encapsulated in 60 minutes of football.
It does. It kind of brought you up. You saw the good, you saw the bad. It did. It kind of happened through the year and kind of put it all together in one game. It showed that, hey, it was ugly year, this, that, crazy things happened. But at the end of the year, you know what? We ended up with a winning record with a bunch of kids that really played hard.
Yeah.
Hey, I was proud of them. I'm like Patterson. I mean, at 3-5, if you told me that we were 7-6 and won the bowl game, I don't care how we won it, I'd say you're crazy. Well, I there was one point in time I thought not because I didn't think the kids play hard and stuff like that. I just didn't think we had enough in our engine left, you know, and I thought we were done.
Well, how about if we put one more little qualifier on that? If we were when we were 3-5 and we said, not only are we going to make it to a bowl game, but we're going to win that bowl game against one of the top 25 defenses in the nation. Would anybody have believed that?
with the sixth-string quarterback or fifth-string quarterback.
Yeah.
Without Robinson, without Collins, without Rodgers, without Ringdahl.
Yeah.
I mean, like.
Pretty much no backup.
Yeah, without Anderson.
Yeah, without Anderson, right.
What,
without
Ringdahl?
Without Summers. I mean,
We didn't have Ringdahl?
I don't think we've had Ringdahl since the middle of the season.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if we had Ringdahl, why wasn't he out there instead of Rodgers?
Right. Well, that's a good question.
Yeah. I mean, you play a guy with drop foot, you're pretty much scraping the bottom of the barrel at that point.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
really what I'm hoping with the drop foot thing is I'm hoping that he's really close.
I hope he is, too.
Not good enough to put him in there, and that he's really close to.
Yeah. I mean, even after he shook off that initial hit, I mean, when he went and started running, he didn't look like he was limping or anything. I mean, he looked pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, but then again, you know, I'm not a doctor. I only play one on TV, yeah. So I have no idea. But I mean, he looked okay.
He could have had one of them things, you know, like they, you know, that you know, they said that Jalen Smith wore on his ankle that kept his foot from dropping. I mean, you know, the kind of a brace that kind of
right
helps the drop foot. So, but hey, I'm proud of the guys. Hey, I'm proud of Bjelstein. You know, to come in and do what he did, and under the circumstances, I don't care what his QBR was last game. I mean, he tried as hard as he could. He made enough plays that we won a football game.
Yep. And, amen. Amen.
I mean, and in my mind, you know, I'm just proud of the guys, all of them.
Yeah.
I love our team. They do not quit.
Well, it was a good way for the seniors to go out. And I know, Shannon, this is something, you know, the seniors probably felt like when they were 3-5, thinking, you know, this is it. This is the end of the season. There's no way we're going to make it to a bowl game. We're going to end, and it's going to be a really sour note. But to turn all that around in the last few weeks of the season, you beaten Baylor, you beaten Oklahoma State, you make it to a bowl, you come from behind yet again. I mean, how many times has this been for this senior team? You had the Ducks. They lost one to Georgia. They had the comeback against Stanford. Now the comeback against Cal. I mean, the seniors have got to be pretty happy.
Yeah, they have a hell of a story to come out with. They've experienced the good, they've experienced the bad and the ugly. I mean, literally this group.
Yep.
So they'll be able to go out and hell, it's a story for those guys. And they still want to get a ring and get all the gifts and get all the goodies, and they go out on top with a win with a hell of a story. I mean, you know. It's championship or, you know, a playoff run, but hell, it's still a victory. It's still a winning season. You know, fortunately in this program, you can say, you know, you've had some good years because we've had some good years and some championship runs and these guys, they win more than they lose. So, yeah, this was an oops year kind of deal due to fluke injuries. But, man, listen, what a way to close it out. We've been, you know, even with all of our shows we've done and, we something to talk about every week, and it was mostly negative for the most part. But one thing we can say, these guys fought their ass off. Gary never quit. They never quit. They never gave up. And to go into this game against this type of team and win, top defensive team with a fifth quarterback who doesn't have many snaps, it was terrible play. We all get it. But, hey, when you look at that, when you have a defense like Gary Patterson's, and know that we'll have a chance to win this game if the quarterback would just make one play. He made it. That's all we knew. Just make one play, and we got you back. So it was awesome to see. Well, hey, I'm glad it's over because I can't take it every weekend. It's up and down. I got to get to next year, man. It's been crazy. So I'm already looking forward to spring ball.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, it was a heck of a season. Dubber, how do you feel about the way the seniors went out this year?
I said, you know, as seniors, you know, you would like to go out and play a little better, but with everything that they were dealt with and what they did, you know, sometimes when you look back, you'll look back at that, you'll think, you know, I kind of agree with Patterson. It might be one of their better years of the team and this and that. Now, maybe not in the win-loss column, but just the sheer grinding. I'm not going to quit. This is the kind of team that they had about 100 reasons why to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not quit. And that's, and for them not to do that, it seemed like every type of adversity you could have, and they still had managed a winning record to come out on top. If I'm the seniors, man, I'm proud. I'm proud of what they did. And I tell you what, the big thing too is, it shows them that going into next year is, think about how bad this year is, and we just get some things right. You know, the momentum, they left the momentum going up in the upswing.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
So I'm proud of them.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think it was Gil Lieberton that said, this is probably Gary Patterson's finest job of coaching. And that's hard to disagree with that. Yeah. Given all the adversity, the injuries and everything he's had to overcome this year, and to pull out this kind of, you know, end of the season, I think it is one of his finest jobs, if not his finest job of coaching.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think it was, and not to put, you know, a damper on any of the other seasons that Patterson has had going back to, the 2014 season, obviously, even going back to when he was defensive coordinator, you go like to the Sun Bowl era. I think this team has had, like Dubber said, so many things went wrong for this team. This team could have quit on any other coach, but he found a way to keep them together through the adversity, obviously with all the distractions. We even talk about the fact that Robinson decided he was going to leave before the bowl game, and we'll talk about that in a future episode. But, you know, with everything that went on with this particular team, for them to stick together and for them to have the last couple of weeks in the season go the way they did for them and the way that they started to kind of get it, especially the defense. And we're talking coach as a defensive coach here in this particular case. And what Shannon was saying, these guys were having fun. They were hunting together. Yeah. This was a TCU defense. We're finally starting to see. And a lot of those guys are coming back next year. It is on that upswing, Dubber. These guys are going – it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to spring ball too, Shannon, because I think this team is going to be a hell of a lot of fun to watch next year. And, you know, it was a crazy way for the season to go out. But you know what? It's been a crazy season. So it couldn't have gone out any other way.
Yep.
No.
Not at all.
You know what? 2 or 3 years now, it'll be just a winning record of another year that we had a winning record. And, you know, a lot of people forget about all the craziness of it. But
I don't know. I don't know how many people are going to forget this.
You're probably right about the bowl game. Yeah. Woo. Yeah, you're probably right there.
I mean, that you know, this is a season where you can look back and go, you lost your starting running back. You lost one of your best defensive line guys before the season began. You lost your linebacker not once but twice in the season. You lost a cornerback. All these players. You lost not just one, not two, but three quarterbacks. You had one with drop foot. You're on your fourth or fifth guy who hasn't ever started in a game. Right? You lost your D-snapper before the bowl. Thankfully, nobody got arrested for fighting before the bowl. But, I mean, it was absolutely pandemonium from beginning of the season to the end. And yet, at the end, we're all still smiling because these guys found a way to win and make it fun doing it.
Lost all kind of crazy. All that just it was a lot of craziness this year, wasn't it?
It was.
Well, you know what I appreciated more than anything at the end of the deal when they were interviewing Patterson there? He just said, you know what? This is the kind of year I am. But he had no apologies. We won a football game. I didn't care how we won the game. And he was happy. I mean, you know, he's happy, you know. Excuses for anything else. He just said, this is the kind of year it was for us. That summed it up. And, hey, we won a football game. I'm happy.
Yep. You should be.
Yeah, I like what was the sideline reporter? What was the question she asked him? Was something like, "What you know?" They always say, you know, playing in bowl games, coaching in bowl games is a lot of fun. Did you have a lot of fun? He was like, "Now that we've won, I've had fun, but back then that was not fun."
Right? Yeah.
I can't imagine, you know, with this, all the stress, you know, as the fans, and we were all laughing our butts off at everything that was going on in the game. I can't imagine what Patterson was dealing with on the sideline. God. So, it's crazy. But like I said. I mean, this is probably the perfect way that this season should have gone out. I mean, you know, why not? I will never forget this particular bowl game at all. And, I mean, it's crazy. But then again, that's Horned Frog football, right? Stock up on all your heart medication because it's going to be a wild ride. Well, with that, guys.
Before we get off here, go ahead. I want to go ahead and plug the girls and boys basketball. If y'all haven't seen them, if you haven't watched them on TV, they're on TV quite often.
Yeah.
You know, you need to watch the college because the football's over with. I'm telling you, the girls and boys basketball team, both of them, they're good. They're fun to watch.
What's the record of both teams? Ever, do you know?
Well, the boys have lost. I think they're both like 9 or 10-1.
Yeah. I think 10-1 for the boys at this point.
You know, the boys just won the Hawaiian Classic, everything they were up in. And the girls, I want to say they've only lost one also. And I'm just telling you, They are both good, solid, a lot of talent. I mean, they are fun to watch.
Outstanding.
I'll have to go check them out. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it definitely. You want to go check them out. Got to find the next three games I got to watch on TV. I watched pretty much all the tournament. And, dude, they got it down now. He kind of got his rotation going. And they're I'm just telling you, they're really good.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Next week, in the first episode of the season for next year, we'll be discussing the end of the bowl games and college football wrap up. But we'll definitely be doing a lot of talk about the men's and women's basketball team because that's gonna be a wild ride too. Hopefully, well into March Madness for both teams because they're well deserving teams and we're about to start conference play here for the Big 12 here pretty soon. And it's going to be interesting to see how this team rides through that. And I'm looking forward to them being possibly 3 or 4 seed in the tournament. So we'll see. I'm hoping the girls make it to the NCAA tournament this year. Cause I think Reagan's got a hell of a squad and they're doing really well. But yeah, during our break, if you guys still are off for December moving into January, if you can find yourself over there to Schulmeyer to actually watch the games, trust me, it's well worth the price of admission for both teams because that is an exciting group to watch play hoops. So with that, I think we've come to the end of the podcast and the end of our 2018. We want to thank everybody who's been out there listening to us this year on the Killer Frogs podcast. Of course, you can find the podcast on all the major platforms, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you can buy podcasts for free these days. You can also find Killer Frogs on all the major social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for a free account, and discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads. Also, follow along on all the game threads for each of the basketball games that are coming up. And make sure you catch all your frog news on frogswire.com. With that, I think we are done. I think I've dotted all my I's and crossed all my T's. Gentlemen, it has been a fantastic 2018. Looking forward to 2019.
Yes, sir.
It has been a pleasure, gentlemen.
And with that, for the last time in 2018, let's get our frogs up and say,
go frogs.
Go frogs.
All right, guys.
Whew, that was a crazy year.